Hello, this is another episode of our podcast, Transform Your Organization. Today, I have a very special guest from with Catherine from Brock Consulting. Hello, Catherine. How are you?
I'm very good. How are you today?
I'm great. Thank you. Can you please introduce yourself to our audience and what Brock Consulting is doing?
Hi, everyone. My name is Catherine Chai, right? I work in the two spaces. One is on brand strategy development, and the other is on learning and development. So I work with customers and clients to create differentiation for their company, or for the company as an employer of choice. And I also helped to upskill the mindset as well, the skill sets of their workforce. So that is in brief what I do.
Okay, so you work on the branding, but you also work inside so they can fulfill the branding, correct?
Yeah, if I what I would say is I work on the brands and the
Yeah.
people behind the brands.
Yeah. People behind the brand, yeah. And this is where we
Yeah.
probably have a touch point with our transformation topic, right? So first question to you. I mean, you're very experienced in consulting in Singapore and other countries. What role do you see when you speak with the leaders or with the people who you work in the brand or in the branding? What role do they have in transformations, or how do they drive transformations?
Well, I think the role of leaders is so pivotal, and the importance is an understatement, I must say. I mean, they are the ones who set a direction, right? They are the ones who set the momentum, and they are the catalyst who drive change. So they must embody the change they wish to see. They have to be the role model. So their role is so important because not only they articulate a vision, but they also create a sense of urgency. And then they had to foster an environment where innovation and adaptability are encouraged. And not only that, they need to rally the team behind the strategy, which means they need to provide support, they need to have clear communication, and they must be visible in terms of championing change, right? So, well, with all that, imagine how important their role is in transformation. What do you think? Don't you agree?
I fully agree. Just from our perspective, we do more implementation consulting, strategy, goals, project management, right? We see a lot that leaders are hiring us, but then they want us to do the role, which is a little bit awkward because we are outsiders, right? We are more facilitators. So how do you support with your service in case if you see that the leaders are not ready, or have you seen that before, that they hired you, but whatever you said now about the leaders, they don't really embody it?
Absolutely. I think over the years, I've also learned, right, to really suss out the commitment levels of the leadership team if they want to go through transformation project. So I have a way where I conduct the so-called, if I lack of a better word, interview, right, to sense what makes them want to embark on a project. Is it to earn brownie points somewhere? It is for PR purposes? Or really, is it a genuine interest that they want to make change and they have a vision of what success look like? So for me, that's very important for me to understand really the intention behind a transformation project. And with that commitment, right, so it's to establish a contract with a client that the commitment, yeah, what are we committed to? And I always be very open and honest with my client that, hey, this project, we need to work as partnership, but if it's just going to outsource to me and you think that, I'm going to make magic happens, I'm going to disappoint you. The magic happens. I always tell my client the real work begins when I leave.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. I think that you ask the client very directly at the beginning, why do you want this project? And maybe make sure that they not work down a KPI, or the boss of the boss told them so, right? That they really want this project and they are really behind, and help you to drive this project together, or actually you help them, they drive the
Yeah.
project. I think that's very good and
Yeah.
that's very powerful, right? Yeah.
If I may add, there's another thing is sometimes because our government, Singapore government, is so encouraging and supportive of the, we're very pro-enterprise, right? So there's a lot of government grants that is available to support companies. So it always scares me when companies come to me and say, oh, you know, there's a government grant, you know, that can help companies in innovating transformation or people transformation. I will always be very cautious because you can't do it because there's a grant.
Mm.
You should do it is because there's a bonus, right? There's a grant. Oh, great, you know. So if it starts the other way, oh, because there's a grant, maybe we should do it. That will, you know, my antenna will kind of go up and like, well, wait a minute. Maybe that's not something that's really important for you, which means it's not a priority, which means their commitment level is not that great. So I do have caution about that.
Mm. So money and budget should not be the starting point. That's what you say, right?
Yeah, it's the intention and what you hope to change and where are you going as an organizer? Where are you going in your business? Mm. Which is the reason why behind the transformation and not because, oh, something is there. So maybe we should make full use of it. Not that.
That's great. Yeah, that's great. Can you give us an example from any client where you triggered this transformation, how you worked with the leadership, how they inspired or you supported them to inspire the staff or the transformation, and what was the transformation topic?
Okay, thank you for asking me that. I think one notable example was a client that I have in the building and construction industry. Now, if I were to ask you, Karsten, what comes up for you when you think of a building and construction company?
It's actually an interesting question. My very first project I did in Vietnam for a bank, I was a fit-out project manager to construct an office on the banking side. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So what comes to me when I look about this project, it's a very well-planned waterfall project, right? Normally, all the construction things, there is not much spontaneity, right? There is, and more, maybe they don't change much. I mean, they have a process. I don't know if the process to build a house changed the last 100 years. So for me, it's a very conservative environment. But let me know how you see it, yeah?
Okay, conservative environment. And if I would ask you another question, if you think about an image of a building construction company, like a 50-year-old, right? What comes to your mind?
I see a very old founder, you know, this 60, 70-year-old founder daddy who has his second generation slowly in place. Actually, I know that. I also had clients in Penang. You know, the Penang construction business industries, right? That comes to my mind, right? A very well-run family kind of business, right? Where the patriarch cares about everybody, but also the patriarch makes all the decisions. But maybe I'm wrong. Let me know.
Okay. So I have this client who is, you know, very established there in Singapore and built a lot of projects in Singapore. And then I was recommended to them from another client because they felt that they need to differentiate themselves. And then, so of course, like any consultant, we go and Google, right? We Google and find out, okay, let's do some preliminary research on this client. And you're right, when I look at their website, I was like, oh my goodness, it looks really, really old-fashioned. And I was thinking in my head, what kind of leadership team will I be meeting, right? So I'm scheduled to meet the CEO and the COO in this first meeting. So I walked into the office and I was like pleasantly surprised. This is second generation, but the leadership team is just not a family member. It also encompasses professionals. So the struggle that my client faces is that they're unable to articulate, you know, what makes them special because competition is rising, right? They find it difficult to articulate that. But more important, the articulation is about attracting talent. I mean, just like people will just go to the website and a young talent or a fresh guy is like, I think I prefer to work with MNCs who came to Singapore and built so many exciting projects, right? And that's the competition they were facing. So from a sustainability point, how can they transform themselves so that they could not only attract new partners, attract exciting projects, but attract the kind of talent they want? So what did I do, right? So the first thing that I do was to uncover their hidden strengths, right? We all have superpower within us, but sometimes it is not discovered and articulated. So that's my first thing that I need to do. So I conducted extensive research, and that includes interviews with their leadership team, I ran focus group discussions with all the employees, and also more importantly, with their key customers, as well as their key partners, right? We're trying to find out really what makes them special. And all these data points, right, provided me with really actionable insights. So not only to capture the strengths of the corporate brand, but also the employer brand. And with that insights, I mean, the commitment, you know, just want to talk about, you know, the commitment of the leadership team, they were super committed. We had 30 people in a room and co-created a strategy together. So straight away, we had their buy-in, right? The buy-in, the energy level from their team, the buy-in also from the leadership team.
What were some of the strengths? Sorry to interrupt you. What were some of the strengths you discovered they didn't know? I mean, I'm very curious. That sounds very amazing that you, because you go in the second and third level of the company, you make a lot of interviews and sometimes they don't speak so much to each other, right? Or they don't get an outside view, like you make customer interviews, right? So do you have an example of one or two strengths they discovered they didn't know?
Yeah. One was really the core values. I think the core values really shine in the way they work with people. Give an example. Let's say another construction company got a project and they have to build this in the next 3 years. So what do? They poached employees, engineers from another construction company and say, I'm going to pay you 30% more. And then you are going to be in charge of this project. You've got to build 3 years, right? In 3 years' time. And then after 3 years, when the project is finished, goodbye to the engineer. It's finished. The project is finished, right? But this company does not do that. The companies always ensure that the employees and the partners and distributors has long-term potential projects with the organization. They don't pay above market rate. They don't pay below market rate, but they believe in being sustainable and believe in keeping their employees, but also their partners, having good projects down the line. And it's very important. It's very interesting when I interview a lot of distributors, whether the ones providing them the windows or the one providing them with the cement, they grow richer and richer as my client gets richer and richer. So it's a symbiotic relationship. So that is something that they didn't realize that that's how people see them, but they never articulate this. And so this is really important as something that the strength that they have. Right, the way they talk to people, they work with people, and that is a beautiful strength that they didn't realize it's not shined, it's not articulated. Yeah,
and that's amazing if clients and third parties can see that, right? Because I have seen that in construction, other business, if you change people too fast or if you onboard people quickly just for one, so it also comes down to the topic fairness, I guess, right? That they treat their clients and their staff very fair, right?
That's right. Yeah, that's really good. Yeah. So that's a very important core value to then talk about it, to then and then entrench it consistently, right? From all your touch points or employee touch points, but also, and also one of the interesting that as we go through the project and knowing this is what it meant to us and what differentiates us, and we form a brand ambassador team. And so I train 19 of the employees cross department to then making sure whatever is the differentiating factors are embedded in the organization. So these brand ambassadors, it could be senior level. It also can be younger generation or people who's just joined the company who has great potential. They go into meetings and then they observe how they talk to each other. They go into meetings with distributors or vendors and observe how we talk to each other. Do we talk differently just because someone is a service provider? So you a little bit different? No, the core values, the way you talk, your behaviors must be the same. And I'm really proud of them, you know, because not only are they interviewed to the result, of course, they measure through surveys and all that, but also through the testimonials from the customers. And also just to this today, I think this last month, top employers, they were featured as one of the top 100 employees in Singapore. So I'm really, really proud
That's
of
amazing.
Them.
Yeah. Yeah. So when we come back to these 19 people you train, so these are your change agents, right? These are from all the department, and you said the magic happens afterwards. So what are supposed that the leaders who get your training and you work with the leaders, but now we have also these 19 change agents or ambassadors, how we call them. champions, right? Because you said the magic happens afterwards. So what are you expecting from them? What happens afterwards after you are out of this assignment or you're just a little bit coaching maybe?
Yeah. So these are team leads, right? Team leads or high potential employees who are earmarked for leadership positions. They bring back what they've learned and apply back to their departments. So they role model this, right? Not only that, they create a 2-year action plan to bring this to life. And so when they present it back to the management team, they get budget of implementation. So it becomes sustainable, right? So they can then implement it themselves because they already done the action planning, they role model, they encourage. So that's where the multiplier effect works.
Okay. That's great. I mean, I love it because this goes also in our direction that you make things actionable, right? Because we always believe all this strategy, goal, even branding talk is nice to have, but you need actions behind, right? I mean, if you don't action it, it will not be sustained. And a lot of people on a lower level cannot really grasp it. Because a lot of time the leadership talks in very big words, right? In very inspiring words. But we see a lot of times if you don't have these change agents or the ambassadors who explain it like in normal language, to say,
absolutely.
Or in actions directly, there's no impact, right? Because I don't know if you saw, we had this comic up from Star Wars where Princess Leia says, "Oh, this is hope." And her deputy says, "No, that's only a data drive she found. That's not hope." That's from the first Star Wars movie. Just a nerd joke here. But but she called it hope and he calls it a data drive, right? I mean, because that's how employees talk, right? I mean.
I totally agree with you. As you said, you know, like some of the strategy, the one who's closer to it creating can understand it.
Yeah,
but once you cascade a few levels down, it's like, what does it mean for me? What does it mean to my job, right? So I always like to share this quote with my client. It's like, you know, execution without strategy is aimless, but strategy without execution is useless.
Yes.
So you need that actional. But if not, it just doesn't come to life.
Yeah, sure. And you have to explain it. I mean, when you say 3-4 levels down the line, people don't want to know what is hope. People want to know, what can I do today concretely to do hope? Right. I mean, what are my tasks? How does it help? Right. What do I do? Right. That's the funny part. Yeah.
Cool. Absolutely.
To wrap up our podcast today, what would be one advice you give leaders in transformation program? Beside the amazing advice you already gave us with the why question at the beginning, is there one more advice you would like to share?
I would say that I think communication skills is very important for leaders.
Yeah.
Because if you're unable to articulate not only the why, right? But also, you know, so you got to speak to the head or speak to the heart. So that involves a finesse of communication skills, right? I mean, and it's not just like on the stage and do a town hall, right? I mean, that's easy, you can script it. But it's also the day-to-day interactions with your team members, right? I think that's you need to role model. You know, you need to talk about it. You got to talk about it. That hits the heart. But you need to role model the behavior. I think that this tool for me is the most important for transformation.
Yeah, and that's...
Because
that's...
people... Mm-hmm. Yeah, go ahead.
No, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. Sorry, I interrupted you. That people?
Yeah, I mean, people look up. People will be, I mean, when you have any transformation, I'm sure you experience, you know, what would the typical employees, you know, they either flight or freeze, right? And they take, the reaction to change is so uncomfortable, and which is normal, right? If you're a right-hander, tomorrow asks you to be a left-hander, hello, it's like, it's not easy, you know? So you expect a change, right? That these are things that's going to happen. And if you can, and if you want to change it, you have to start changing yourself first. If you want this change, so that role model is so important. You got to walk the talk. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and we see that. I mean, you also have to get out of your top floor and speak to people and be present. That's what we sometimes see what leaders do wrong. They cascade down and then in Singapore, it's easy. You sometimes have 30, 40 floors. They stay on their 40th floor and just observe. But we want them, we always tell leaders, you have to get your hands dirty, you have to go into the trenches, you have to talk with normal people, with the customers and everybody, right? To really go down.
Yeah.
Cool. Thank you so much. Sorry, what do you want to say?
No, I just wanted to say that point was that some leaders understood their symbolic role. Some leaders do not know their symbolic role, right? Mm. So embracing that this is a symbolic role as a leader that you need to show up, right? That is something that they have to internalize. Yeah. Mm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's good. I mean, that's what you do from the start, that you start with the leader and you talk to them and make sure they are also ready for transformation. I think that was one of the biggest learnings for me. Thank you so much, Catherine. Thank you for having you on the show, and
thank
have
you so
a
much,
great
Kasten.
Day. Thank you.
Thank you.